Issues, etc., returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008 for a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more. We'll send you a CD of Issues, etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. It's a long article in the latest New Yorker by Eliza Griswold covering many facets and voices from a millennial generation that actually goes to church. While everyone else is worried about how to even get millennials to attend church, they're that generation that grew up in the church, or maybe they didn't, and then all kind of wandered away, or most of them wandered away. There are churches that are attracting them. And this piece in the New Yorker is titled "Millennial Evangelicals Diverge from Their Parents' Beliefs, the Separation of Families at the Border, Climate Change, and Various Progressive Causes Have Galvanized Young Christians." We're going to be responding to the New Yorker piece. Joining us to do so on this Wednesday afternoon, Pastor Jeff Hemmer, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, married father of six children and author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. Jeff, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you this afternoon.
What stood out to you the most in the New Yorker column?
Well, I think initially I was struck that there seems to be a difference between how the article is titled and then what you actually read about in the article. The title talks, of course, about the beliefs of the parents of millennials and then the divergence of millennials' beliefs from what their parents believe. But then the article goes on to talk less about creed and more about what evangelicals are active about, what they're concerned about in society, things like immigration, Black Lives Matter, so-called in the tagline, progressive causes. But then I began to wonder if maybe that's not too far from the truth, that a lot of what has passed for Christianity in recent generations has been little more than moralism warmed over. So, right, they'll know we are Christians by what we are opposed to in the public square and by how well we order our lives according to a list of virtues and vices, which really is not the essence of Christianity. So if it's true that the parents of millennials, their supposed Christianity was just a matter of, you know, doing what's right and trying to get others to go along with doing what's right, then even if millennials have taken up different causes to champion, if they still believe Christianity is essentially about doing what's right and getting others to do what's right, then they really haven't diverged that much from their parents' beliefs at all.
So it appears that at least what you're saying is that Christianity is kind of just viewed as a framework upon which you can hang various causes and move them forward.
Exactly. What are Jesus' politics, or how would Jesus treat immigrants, or any of these things, when really we know that the essence of Christianity is not about morals. The essence of Christianity is about Christ, the crucified one, who dies for our sins. And so it's never a matter of getting everyone to cooperate and do what's right. The essence of the church and the essence of Christianity is repentance and forgiveness of sins.
The millennials in the column talk about how their parents had a selective reading of Scripture, and that's why they kind of made church the way they made church. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I found that kind of ironic. You had the quote from Colon LeBoy, where he's critical. He and another millennial cited in the article. They say that what their parents emphasized were sort of verses taken out of context that they used to sort of, it says, as a weapon in the culture wars of the 80s and 90s, taking scripture verses out of context or using them in isolation. And then in the very next sentence, the article goes on to say, Jesus practiced a radical love, Cologne LeBoy told me on the stoop. This dude was breaking down gender roles and taking on racial issues that made people around him hate him. And that's just ironic that on the one hand, either these millennials profiled in the article or the author of the article can criticize the previous generation for taking verses out of context and missing the essence of Christianity, and then in the very next sentence, take Jesus out of his context and still miss the essence of Christianity. Like, that's not what Jesus is about. He's not about breaking down gender roles or taking on certain issues in the public square in order to make people hate him. He's about taking the sins of the people who surround him onto himself. They hate him because of his perfect righteousness and of his perfect standard of righteousness that if you don't follow, you deserve hell.
In your observation, is the millennial generation more progressive than their parents' generation?
I think some are. I guess that's what Ms. Griswold wants to say in her article, particularly in Christian circles and specifically in the subcategory of evangelical Christianity. She wants to argue that evangelicals are less monolithic than their parents' generation. They're more open to considering issues on both sides of the political spectrum. And that's a little bit praiseworthy to refuse to align the church with one political party. That's good, right? I mean, the church is neither, right? You can be a Democrat or a Republican, or you could not vote, or you could start your own political party and still be a baptized Christian for whom Jesus died. So, but I think that it's only within the context of the church that millennials may be more progressive or more willing to take now so-called progressive causes into their own wheelhouses and become champions of those alongside some other long-standing Christian causes. Like the article talks about how so many millennials remain opponents of abortion, whether they are in favor of overturning Roe v. Wade or whether they just want to see the number of abortions decreased. Most of them, it came out in the article, seem to remain fairly pro-life. So they take an anti-abortion position and mix it together with, you know, amnesty for illegal immigrants. And that is a little bit more socially progressive than previous generations of the church might have been.
Pastor Jeff Hemmer is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, August 29th. We are responding to and evaluating a New Yorker column on millennial evangelicals. He's author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Some Bible passages make us more uncomfortable than others. Take, for example, any passage about money. But just because a topic makes us uncomfortable doesn't mean we shouldn't face it head on. That's exactly what the August issue of the Lutheran Witness has done, with articles on poverty, generosity, money management, and more. You won't want to miss it. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to a New Yorker column on millennial evangelicals. Pastor Jeff Hemmer, the millennial man, is our guest. Pastor Hemmer, are you surprised that the millennial evangelicals that were featured in the column there were strong on biblical inerrancy?
You know, that is surprising. And I wonder at several of them in the article, you know, say that they believe in biblical inerrancy, but then you also get one or two of them in the article who say, you know, they're also in favor of affirming homosexuality. So on one hand, I wonder, you know, exactly what the definition of biblical inerrancy is, but then it is probably not surprising that children of evangelicals, where the Bible was taken very seriously, would continue to maintain that position as they mature, and yet we'll see the world around them in a different kind of lens, and we'll see Scripture through the lens of the world around them. And so may profess a belief in biblical inerrancy and yet still kind of miss the central point about Scripture, which Jesus says, you search the Scriptures because you think you have in them eternal life, but these are they that testify about me. So lots of people can believe in biblical inerrancy and still have all kinds of errors when it comes to their biblical interpretation.
You had mentioned before the break the generally pro-life stance, and I think it's noted that in general, the millennial generation is way more pro-life than their parents' generation has been. But the devil's in the details. A lot of the pro-life is, I'm personally opposed, and we even see it in the column, personally opposed, but not necessarily going to support overturning Roe v. Wade. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so abortion can't really be a gray issue like that. If an unborn child is a human being, then it deserves, you know, full legal protection from other human beings who would seek to take its life from it. So to say that, you know, we've lost the Roe v. Wade, you know, we lost that decades ago, that's over and done, and we need to move on and make abortion rare, I think kind of misses the point. It is nevertheless encouraging to hear of a generation that is probably more pro-life than the generation that preceded it and more opposed to abortion. And it's encouraging. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like the Roman Catholic consistent life ethic, which is more than just being opposed to abortion. It's also considering life after birth as well and being pro-life in all of life stages. So there's a little bit of that, those kinds of echoes in the way these millennials profiled in the article seem to approach a pro-life stance. But any ground that can be gained in defending the life of the unborn and guaranteeing the right to life to people in all stages of life is a win for God and his creation and his church as she seeks to be the voice of those defenseless.
What do you think about the assumption that's both in the column, but it's also so prevalent in the church, especially in evangelicalism, that every generation, however those generations kind of divide themselves off, need to find their own way of quote-unquote doing church. About a minute and a half here.
I think it's exceedingly myopic and narcissistic to think that the church is that fluid, that it changes, you know, so quickly with the times. Jesus promised, of course, that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, and it's arrogant of us to think that the winds of culture could change the church and change the essence of the church. Every generation needs to find the truth of the Word of God and needs to find God's way of doing church, which is to gather sinners for the purpose of forgiving their sins, and not gathering people together for the purpose of promoting morality throughout the culture. So anytime we look at others and we can say, you know, they're wrong and I'm right, we're missing the essence of Christianity. We need to be able to see all the sins that we want to condemn in others in our own hearts as well. And then we're really to the essence of what the church is all about. And that's exposing us as sinners and absolving us with the mercy that Christ delivers to us by his atonement won for us on the cross. And that's not a thing that changes from generation to generation. That's a thing that is eternal. That's the essence of the church that will never change until the day of Jesus' return. And so it's not about each generation finding its own way to do church. It's about the church and the Lord of the church finding those of all generations and with his way of doing forgiveness.
Pastor Jeff Hemmer is pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, a married father of six children, author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. Find a link to it at our website under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Hemmer, thank you very much, and congratulations to you and your wife on the birth and the baptism of your sixth child, Cheryl May Katharina.
Thank you so much.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the prophets and the judgment seat of God. We'll be talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about the prophet Hosea and his message to the Old Testament people of God and to us today. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.